Good morning. Somebody mentioned blue collar comedy. Who was that? TJ, why'd you say that? I wanted to say, man, there's a lot of people here today. James, I made a joke a couple weeks ago that the music here was sometimes good, and I think everybody agreed that that was a joke. My favorite part of the music today was watching you hit that, was it a xylophone button we were playing, and your head, you look like Ray Charles up there playing. So feel free to hit the xylophone button whenever you want, if it makes you do that, because I enjoyed that greatly. But the rest, obviously the music here is fantastic, and I was kidding that time that I said sometimes the music is great. It's always great. We all agree on that. This morning, I've titled this sermon, Old Testament Christmas Promises, and I've also titled this sermon, A Christmas Promise Long Ago. You can call it whatever you want. Really doesn't matter. We are going to study this morning some Old Testament Christmas prophecies, and next week we will read and study the New Testament Christmas story from Luke 2. It's the same story, just two different parts of the book. But this New Testament Christmas story from Luke chapter 2, which discusses the physical birth of Jesus. But in the Old Testament days, there was some serious drama going on in Israel in the days of Ahaz and Isaiah. Israel was going through a time of rebellion and revival, and the book of Isaiah reveals God's judgment and salvation. So today we will, I'm talking in 25 minutes, we're going to skim the book of Isaiah. Okay, everybody here for that? Good? Amen, he says. We know that God is holy and he cannot allow sin to go unpunished. God saw the sin of Israel and he hated it. Isaiah compares God's judgment to a consuming fire, but Isaiah knows and understands that God is a God of mercy and compassion. So in the book of Isaiah, the kingdom of Judah was blind and deaf to God's commands all throughout the Old Testament, but specifically in Isaiah. There's no exception. In Isaiah, we see, if you read the book, I think it's 66 chapters, you see Isaiah pleading with Judah to repent and believe, and a Messiah is coming, okay? So in the book of Isaiah, Judah is compared to a vineyard that should be and will be trampled on. And it's only because of God's mercy and his promises that he does not totally destroy the nation of Judah. God will bring restoration, forgiveness, and healing to Judah through a promised Messiah. And the promised Messiah will come through the nation of Judah, born unto a virgin, and Israel will be a light to all the nations. God's full righteousness will be revealed to the world through his Son, whom they will call Emmanuel, or God with us. We know it as God with us, but we know his name as good job, Sims. Jesus. We're talking about Jesus, okay? Isaiah vividly describes that Jesus will be born unto a virgin. Isaiah describes that the Messiah, he describes the Messiah as one who will suffer. Emmanuel would suffer for our sins, and through his wounds, victory will be achieved. Through his suffering, the promised Messiah, Jesus, will become and has become the Prince of Peace. Isaiah presents Jesus to us in undeniable detail 700 years before he was born. And in chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah sees the Lord with his own eyes. And before we read that, let us pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the prophecy in the book of Isaiah. It's cool to read and study and meditate on your promises that came in advance, because we live in a time where we get to see and have gotten to see them fulfilled. We're living after Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection, and these promises came before he was even born. So Lord, I'm grateful that you've given us such an interesting story of truth to follow with our lives. I pray that we hear this story today and that we are in awe of this story, and that this story gives us endurance to carry on for the rest of our lives, trusting in you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. Really, I'm going to read this slowly this morning because there's a lot going on. And if you really pay attention, it's really cool. So pay attention, please. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. This is Isaiah speaking. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So Isaiah is looking at God. Attending him were mighty seraphim. Seraphim are, I had to look this up, six-winged angels, okay? He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Isaiah, I'm not reading now, I'm preaching. Isaiah looked up at all this. He found himself in this scene, and he said exactly what most of us would have said, I think. He said, "It's all over. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man." He was looking at God, and he was looking at some six-winged angels, and he was nervous, it seems. "Oh no, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. I saw the word tongs, and I wondered if the seraphim went, because every time I have tongs, I can't help but to just click those things. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven.' Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?' And Isaiah said, 'Here I am, send me.'" So he was excited about what he had seen. He was willing, because what he had seen, to believe that he would have been an adequate messenger. God says, "Who should I send as a messenger to this people of Israel? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." But Isaiah recognized that he was a sinful man. We saw this in verse 5. Isaiah saw the Lord, and he knew for sure he was a guilty man. He said, "It's all over. I am doomed." I'm reading from the NLT this morning. I don't know what ESV says. I don't know what any other version said, but he says, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips." And because of his fear and his reverence for the Lord showed him mercy and sent an angel down to anoint Isaiah with a burning coal right before he probably slapped those tongs together like he was getting ready to flip over a ribeye, you know. The angel said to Isaiah, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." God himself then said, "Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah responded by saying, "Here I am, send me." Isaiah was a willing messenger for the Lord. He was a prophet, and God chose Isaiah to deliver messages to the people of Israel. And these messages included a coming judgment and a coming Messiah. So what does Isaiah say to the kingdom of Judah? A couple of the things that he says we see in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. He says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." This is in 700 BC. So this is 700 years before Jesus is actually born. The nation of Israel is acting a fool. Isaiah shows up and says, "You've got a Messiah coming, and he's coming. He's going to be born unto a virgin, and you're going to call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. So in this verse, Isaiah revealed to King Ahaz 700 years before Jesus was born to a virgin that God was coming to earth as a child, and he would be known as Emmanuel, which means God with us. Through the power and direct message of God, Isaiah told Israel that the Messiah was coming, born unto a virgin. He didn't explain when. He simply stated that it was going to happen. And we know that it happened about 700 years later, right? If you open up your book and you read some summaries, you read some notes, you'll figure that out. We likely don't spend a lot of time thinking about the virgin birth. Maybe you do, probably you don't. But the virgin birth is really a key doctrine in the life of a Christian. Jesus is the Savior of the world, and He came to physical life as a child on earth, brought to us through a woman named Mary. But the interesting part is Jesus existed before Mary and was sent to earth by His Father, our God. Okay? And Jesus Himself is also God. Our God is one God in how many parts? Three parts. Our God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father created everything, including Jesus and Mary. And He sent His Son, Jesus, to this earth as our personal Lord and Savior. And it's through our faith in Jesus that we are saved. And because of our faith in Jesus, we receive the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, eternal life is one, but the Holy Spirit. Through our faith in Jesus, we receive. I looked at you, Troy, because you say Holy Spirit at least 15 times a day. And then you got it wrong. Through our faith in Jesus, we won't hold it against you though. Through our faith in Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to this earth as the visible image of the invisible God. That is Colossians 1:15. You can remember that very easily. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God, and He came through a virgin woman named Mary, which is prophesied in the book of Isaiah 700 years in advance, and it was God's plan from the beginning of time. Amen? Is the sermon over? No. What did Isaiah have to say about this child? In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Let's read that part again. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah promised Israel a Messiah, and 700 years later, the Messiah arrived. Now, where do we stand? Let's fast forward about 2,700 years. 2,700 years ago, Isaiah promised a Savior, a Redeemer, a Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, an Everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. And he was right. Jesus arrived here on this earth, and many people have been saved and redeemed in the last 2,700 years, but not everyone has been saved and redeemed. There's much lostness in the world. There's much darkness in this world that we live in. And I just wondered to myself, if Isaiah showed up here today with a word from the Lord, what would he say to our country and our people? He would call us to repentance the same as the Old Testament prophets did back then. We don't look much different. And in many ways, we probably look worse. And by we, I mean the world, not the saved people of Jesus. I mean, if you look around, you see darkness and despair everywhere. But Isaiah is not coming with a new message. His prophetical message has been fulfilled through the birth and the death and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. And the message and the theme of the book of Isaiah was that Israel was a mess, and God's creation was a mess, and there was disobedience, and there was rebellion, and there was chaos, and there was unholy behavior. And Isaiah came preaching a word from the Lord about righteous judgment and a suffering Savior that would be born unto a virgin that would redeem humanity back to God. And I'm grateful that Isaiah's prophecy was fulfilled. Now I'm finding, one, that I'm thirsty. I'm finding that many of my sermon illustrations, I don't sit around and think, I need to talk about movies every sermon. But apparently I like movies a lot more than I realize. But to my fellow movie buffs, do we have any Star Wars nerds in here? A couple of Star Wars nerds. Got a mid-grade Star Wars nerd. Cece, you're a Star Wars nerd? She's laughing. Okay. I don't know that I'm a big Star Wars fan. I'm a fan of the three old movies, the first couple movies, okay? I grew up watching Star Wars, the real Star Wars I wrote in here, not the Disney Plus Star Wars. I'm talking about the real stuff. Jabba the Hutt and R2-D2 and C-3PO and Darth Vader, all those boys. The original Star Wars came out in 1977. That would have been 13 years before I was born, which was kind of scary to think about. But does anyone remember the name, the title of the original Star Wars movie? Episode what? Episode 4, A New Hope. Okay, and y'all are probably thinking, why here he goes again. It's Christmas time. Why are we talking about Star Wars right now? But we're gonna get back on track here in a second. This has got my mind in a twist that somebody in the creation of Star Wars had enough foresight to think we should start with Episode 4. That makes sense. Because when you think about it, like, you could have started at the beginning. You should have. And our logical minds say, let's start at the beginning, right? Am I the only weird one or what? But they started at Episode 4. And if there's an Episode 4, there should be an Episode 1, 2, and 3 somewhere, right? Well, there eventually was several years later. And for the most part, they were a disappointment, right? But I digress. My point in sharing all this is that Isaiah was telling us about Jesus before Jesus came to earth. Not only did Isaiah tell us that Jesus was going to come to earth, he told us what would happen to him while he was on earth. And for whatever reason, this prophecy made me think of Star Wars, or I should say that Star Wars reminds me of this prophecy. The first three movies of Star Wars were Episode 4, 5, and 6, and the next three were 1, 2, and 3. So let's dumb this down a little bit. Let's call the Old Testament Episode 1 and the New Testament Episode 2. And the famous line from the Star Wars movie, or one of them, is, "A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away." Well, back in Isaiah 53, chapter 53, Isaiah is discussing the future long before it ever occurred. And this reminds me of Star Wars for whatever reason. And I figured y'all would get a little bit of a laugh at that. I want to read Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah recaps the gospel before the gospel ever happens. He tells us about the good news of Jesus 700 years in advance with precise detail. He recaps Jesus' life on earth before Jesus was even born. It's like Isaiah had the knowledge of Episode 2 while he was living in Episode 1, similar to Star Wars. And he had this knowledge because he was a messenger of the Lord himself. Now, as I sit up here and compare the Bible to Star Wars, now my mind's going to that 70s show where Red Foreman just wants to kick Eric because he never stops talking about Star Wars. I did not write that in. But Isaiah chapter... I need to stop watching TV. We're going to read all of Isaiah chapter 53 today. It's 12 verses. And I'm also going to read this slow and just listen. Listen to the detail that Isaiah gives about Jesus' life and death. He was pierced, he says, for our rebellion. 700 years in advance, this is prophesied. Isaiah chapter 53, starting at verse 1, not verse 4. We're going to start at verse 1. "Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. If that doesn't sort of warp your mind, hearing that, reading that, 700 years ahead of time, before Jesus even came to earth through the Virgin Mary, Isaiah is telling us that he bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. I am one of those rebels, okay? So we've traveled through the Star Wars galaxy, looking into the past and the future. I'm going to stop talking about Star Wars. We're in the Bible. It was prophesied that these things would happen. And 2,700-ish years ago, we're sitting here talking about the past. Well, the past was talking about the future. This is some goosebumpery going on, don't you think? Did I make that word up? I did. But it if you really stop and slowly read through this and really think about these things, it just feels so real, because it is. Like, what are the, you know, I feel sorry for the people that doubt the truth of the scripture when it all aligns with itself so well. And we see life transformation happen in people because of their faith. How can you doubt it? So Isaiah has delivered a message of the gospel of Jesus Christ before Jesus was even born to a virgin. And he preached this message with precise accuracy. Now, I want to close out our time together this morning by reading a passage from Isaiah 66. So I was skimming through Isaiah, and I was reading some articles and stuff, and I thought, how does this book end? So I sort of skipped forward to the end, you know, and I started reading some things, and I read the last three verses, 22 through 24, Isaiah chapter 66. And this will probably be one of the darkest passages you've ever heard read aloud during the Christmas season. And for that, I'm sorry. I did not write this book, okay? This is inspired by God's Holy Spirit. And if He wrote it and recorded it for us to read and study and understand, we will read it and seek to understand it. Remember, the book of Isaiah is a book of coming judgment and the coming salvation that happens through the Messiah, Jesus. So let's read verse 22, chapter 66, verse 22. As surely, so we're talking about the end times here. So he skipped forward even more in the grand scheme of things. As surely as my new heavens and earth will remain, so will you always be my people. That means the saved believers of Jesus will be God's people, okay? So you will be my people with a name that will never disappear, says the Lord. All humanity will come to worship me from week to week and from month to month. That means that all humanity means the saved believers in the new heavens and the new earth will come to worship me from week to week and from month to month. And here is the dark part. And as they go out, they will see the dead bodies of those who have rebelled against me. For the worms that devour them will never die, and the fire that burns them will never go out. All who pass by will view them with utter horror. And that is how the book ends. There's no more words in the book of Isaiah. He says, the people that believe will inherit eternal life with me forever. And the people that don't believe will be eaten, will be devoured by worms that never die, and they will be burned by fire that will never go out. And all the people who pass by will view them in fear. I share that today to say, Rachel has a disgusted look on her face, like, oh no. I share all that today to say we have a choice to make in this. We can choose eternity with the Lord Jesus through the salvation that comes through His grace and our faith in Him. This Christmas story, the story of Jesus' birth that was forecasted so long ago, is not just a seasonal story about Christmas cheer and poinsettias and xylophones. All these things are great. But the Christmas story is that Jesus was coming to earth to save people from their sin and wretchedness and despair. And we're living in a time that we've seen Him. We didn't get to physically see Him. History tells us He's been here, He's coming, He's died. and through our faith in that, we can be saved. That is the Christmas story. And if you refuse to believe that, you see in the final verses what happens. Death. Death that you don't get to come back from. Not only death, worms devouring the people that don't believe. Fire burning the people that don't believe. These are scary things. And Jesus has come to offer us a different place to be. A way out. A way to be redeemed with Him. This is what He came for. Jesus was promised from the beginning. He was prophesied in Isaiah. He came to life on earth as a baby in a manger, born unto a virgin. And we will read about that next week in Luke chapter 2. He was crucified in the Gospels. We read about this in the book of Mark, which we will finish sometime before the year of 2027. Jesus was, He was born. He lived a life on this earth. He was crucified. He was raised into heaven. And all the people who believe in that get to receive Him and be with Him for life, forever. And while we're on this earth, living our lives with Him and for Him, we are to do everything that we can to make disciples of Jesus so that people would come to know Him. People in Boone County, Bellevue, Burlington, Union, wherever you go in Boone County, people outside of this county and people all over the world will come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior if we would go and make disciples like He's called us to do. I'm sorry I got deep into the scary parts of Isaiah for Christmas time. Sorry, not sorry, I guess. It's there for us to read. It's there for a warning. Isaiah is a book of judgment and salvation. The final closing remarks are remarks of judgment. For the people that do not believe will not receive an eternal life, will not get to see Jesus after they die, okay? It's Christmas time. Let's heed this warning that this season, our lives are about, not only the month of December is about Jesus, let's not water this stuff down. Let's live out our faith for Jesus every day. If we have faith in Jesus, we ought to be living it out and telling people about Jesus, especially during this Christmas season. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for prophecy. Thank You for the book of Isaiah. Thank You for Your word in general. Lord, I pray that people will continue to be saved throughout history because of the reading of Your word, because of the preaching of Your word, even though parts of it are scary. Yes, parts of it are about judgment. That's what we're trying to avoid. We're all going to be judged, but Lord, You came born unto a virgin so that we could be redeemed. You are Lord and Messiah and Savior and God with us. And by Your grace, if we have faith to believe, we will be saved. And when we're saved, we will be baptized and we will devote our lives to living for You all year long, all month long, all decade long, our whole lives we will dedicate to You because we love You and because we want to see other people come to faith in You. Lord, I pray if there's anybody in here that has not been saved through their faith in You, it's not Your fault. Lord, You give us opportunities in this country to hear Your word. We've heard it this morning that You came, born, God sent You here and through Mary, and You lived a perfect life and You died a violent death and You resurrected into heaven, and You are the one who saves. Our faith in this through Your grace is what saves us. So I pray that if there's anybody here that has not received You as Lord and Savior, that they would make that decision today to follow You for the rest of their lives so that they will get to be with You forever and ever. I pray all this in Your mighty name. Amen.